Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Hey, welcome to episode 144 of Growth Marketing Today. This is your host, Ramley John. Now, you've created content that people are searching for that answers their questions and that search engines can understand, but those qualities alone don't mean you'll rank on search engines. Now, to outrank the rest of the sites with those qualities, you have to establish authority. That can be accomplished by earning links from authoritative websites, building your brand, and nurturing an audience who will help you amplify your content. So in this episode 144, you'll learn from Alan Silvestri, founder and CEO of Growth Gorilla. First, 5 link building strategies that work for SaaS. Second, how to create linkable assets. And third, how to build links to your homepage. I also want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. This episode of Growth Marketing Today is brought to you by Partner Stacked. It's G2's number one rated partner management platform. Fully support your partner marketing, referral, and reseller channel programs all from a single platform. Take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale. If you're ready to scale revenue through partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a free demo today or find the link in the description right now. Now for Bobby, let's jump into my chat with Alan.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Growth Marketing Podcast. I'm super excited to have Alan here. He is the founder and CEO of Growth Gorilla. And I got to share that he sent this really great cold email and that just made me chuckle. He's going to be talking about link building and he says that he's got to be good at that because that's his job. So how's it going, Alan? How are things with you?
Hey, Ramley. Thanks a lot for having me. It's great to be here. And yeah, looking forward to talk a bit more about cold emails and funny subject lines as well.
For context, what would, do you recall what your subject line was? Like I'll share it because I just remember looking at it. You said, "Hey Ramil, how's it going?" And like I tweet a lot about how people mess up my name and just call me Ramil, or one time they call me something else, like completely, like you know, completely something different, or Tamil or something, and you just LOL'd.
And I think that I also used deer, something like that, because it's something that a lot of people use.
Yeah,
in bad cold email. So
I remember just tweeting about that. I think a few days before your email, so I got caught off guard. It's like, man, this is another one of those bad emails, and it's like a bait and switch, you know. But it was a good one. Anyways, like I like you said, this is gonna be a really interesting chat about link building. But before we do, I just want people to get to know you and something cool about you. And you're a big Back to the Future movie series fan. You own a DeLorean, and I just found out you tattooed your whole arm with Back to the Future. Much of a fan you are, right?
Definitely.
For the car itself, you know, the DeLorean is quite rare. They stopped making it because it kept breaking down. Like, how did you get your hands on that, man?
First off, I'd like to dispel some of the myths. So the DeLorean is not actually a very bad car, like everybody's saying. Like, it's just a matter of keeping it like well maintained, right? As like every 40 years old car. So the company went bankrupt, like I think, basically after 3 years of running. So they built around 9,000 cars, and so it's rumored to be about 6,000 cars left now. So it's kind of rare, but for the most part, I think that it's like a niche car. It's like a very niche car. Most DeLorean owners are usually Back to the Future fans, especially like for my age. So if you're, if you were born like in the 80s and you've seen the movies, that was like your dream car. So that's the main thing.
How did you get your hands on it? Like, did you go on eBay? Did you go on Amazon?
So actually, there's a few different channels. There's a lot of like Facebook groups, actually, of like the DeLorean owners and where people can look for it. But the way that I came across mine, so first off, I basically spent the last 10 years like collecting all the props. So like you can actually see, but the wall in front of me is all Back to the Future stuff. So like I have a like a glass cabinet with all the props from the movie. You have the shoes, the almanac, and all the like the things from the movie. And so the DeLorean was actually the last part, like the last piece of the puzzle, basically. So it started looking like seriously 2 years ago. And I put my mind to like, now I want to buy a car. And so I found one here in the UK where I live now, which basically was a wreck. So it didn't have the engine. It was all broken down, like a total wreck. And I was about to bid for this car on eBay, actually. But thankfully, I kind of got lucky. So this guy that I know in the States, he was actually one of the last remaining mechanic that were trained by the DeLorean Motor Company in California. And he was selling a few cars for like on behalf of other people. And so he just messaged me like the exact same day that the auction for the wreck was ending, saying that he got this car in and the price was right. And so I just said, yes, thank you, I'll take it.
Wow. So you got it shipped from California to UK, right?
Yeah. That's it. What?
Talk about passion, man. Talk about like interest, really. That's so cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. I want to jump into talking about link building, and particularly you wrote this whole post for B2B SaaS companies, which, you know, there's definitely bad link builders out there. I mean, let's talk about first like some unique challenges, particularly for B2B SaaS, because maybe it might be different from B2C, but for a lot of B2B SaaS, what are some challenges that they face when it comes to link building?
So yeah, for the most part, like from what I see from the companies that reach out to me for work on link building and content promotion, for the most part, I see like three types of companies that are not ready yet for link building. And so the first one is companies that are, I call them copycats. So basically software that it's like the same exact as something else that already exists. So the problem there is that they haven't found like their like unique selling point or proposition yet. So they are not like unique. Yeah, basically like in any way, the software is exactly the same as anything else. And so like for us as link builders and content promoters, basically it's super hard to come up with something unique and a reason for why other people should link to them, right? So that's the first group. The second group is if the software is like super niche or like very, very technical, those are very difficult companies to work with for us, especially because you need to be an expert kind of in the niche, or at least you need to be able to learn about it. And if the subject is super technical, for our team, for example, it's kind of hard sometimes to be able to work on it and to be able to send emails on behalf of the company, especially. And the third group is essentially the companies that are not ready yet because they are not publishing content. So sometimes we get companies that maybe have like one or two articles on the blog published, not targeting any keywords. And so they're basically like hoping that maybe in like 3 months with 10 backlinks, we can get them to number one in the Google rankings for their like top keywords, right? And so, yeah, what I tell them is like, you're not ready. I can introduce you to some of my friends that do content like planning and content strategy, and then you can come back to us basically when you're ready.
Interesting. I love how you put that. Like these are companies that we don't want to work with. That's not a fit for Growth Gorilla. And I guess the opposite of that, and I'd love for you to summarize it, like who are the B2B SaaS companies that are ready for link building? Like some of them is they're consistently writing content. Are there other ones that you're like, okay, you guys are actually ready to start working with us or our link builder?
Yeah, definitely. So we mainly work with a few different types of companies. We even work with some early stage companies, and those have been like the most like successful ones for us because we are able to take them from like step zero, like all the way to the top essentially. But the problem with them is that they need to be able to commit to the long term. So like, yeah, to give an example, our most like successful client has been with us for like 2.5 years now. And so they started off with 4 articles on the blog, but at the time they already had a content manager and they showed me their content plan. So I knew like what the strategy was there. And I knew that like, yeah, we could basically support their content production effort. Yeah, with the strategies and the promotion work that we do. And the other type of company is just companies that are like more advanced in their marketing journey. So they have a ton of content, like very good quality content. They are ranking super high for most of their keywords, but maybe they just want to shoot up like maybe from position 5 to position 2 or position 1. So they need that kind of extra push, right? And so those are like the two main types of companies that we like to work with. Companies that have a strategy in place and don't have the time or resources to do the link building and content promotion. And the other companies that maybe even have some kind of link building team in place, but it's not basically as advanced as to be able to know how to break into the top 3 position. Mm.
That's really great. Thank you for summarizing that. I mean, one of the things that you talked about is a company that is doing content well already. And my question to you is like, what are some examples or what are some clues that you have that shows that their content is good enough to start link building? Because if the content is crap, I'm guessing it's going to be hard to get links to that, right?
Yeah, definitely. So like if you type on Google, like great content, like you're going to get a few different articles. And I know that there's a good article by wordstream.com that talks about like, yeah, the different qualities of what a great content is. And it's usually like original, it's actionable, it's shareable, it's readable, and basically a bunch of other of these like good qualities that a content should have. But for us, in terms of link building and content promotion, we really want to see like 4 main things that might be different for some of those. Some of them are also like a few of the quality that the article mentioned, but for example the main one that is usually not like top priority for people for us personally is to make the content visually appealing. And that's because for us most of the time people do judge a book by its cover. And so if your article doesn't look really good, there's no chance that people are even going to read it, right? And so we like really want to make sure that the clients have like a very good looking website, very good looking content, that it's readable and that has like media elements, like custom images, and basically all that kind of stuff that makes a content visually appealing. Because once your content looks good, then it makes people want to read it and go in depth, right? So that's the first thing. The second one is that it should be actionable, and that's always kind of true, especially for link building, because it needs to provide value to the person that you're pitching it to. And so it needs to have some kind of, basically like a value prop or some kind of insight that you can basically share to the other people that you're pitching the content to. And there must be maybe some like useful statistics that kind of surprise the other person. So these kind of things. The third good quality is that it should be targeting a very specific keyword that has search traffic potential, because I see many times many companies doing the same mistake of publishing articles on their blog about like company updates, software updates, and like, we've done this week. You can't really build backlinks to that kind of content. And so you really need to have this content plan and strategy in place that is basically covering the 3 stages of your funnel. So top, middle, and bottom of the funnel. And then you can essentially support like the entire content production with your link building. And lastly, and this is very important as well, is that your content should match the content type and the search intent for the specific keyword that you're targeting. So the content type is quite simple, actually. Basically, Google tells you what it wants to rank. So if you take a look at like the top 10 ranking results for your keyword, like chances are that you might see either blog articles or maybe home pages or maybe directories, you know? So those are the results that Google wants to rank for that keyword. So basically, like if you want to compete for the keyword, you essentially need to do the same thing that other people are doing, but do it better and build more backlinks to it. And the search intent is essentially making sure that you're satisfying what the person that is searching for the keywords want to find. So if you're typing, like if somebody's typing best cold email software, chances are that the article ranking are going to be the list article that are like top 10 cold email software for your business and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, basically just making sure that you have these four things in place for content promotion and link building is usually good enough.
I love how you broke that down. It's like it's obvious you've put a lot of thought into this. I really love also like, yeah, people do judge things by the cover of the book, right? Like it's really easier to share something if it looks pretty versus like, oh man, this looks like trash. You'd be embarrassed to share to link to it. I guess so. Now you have that for content. What you have this client, they have this four things in their content. They're consistently creating content, and you're just like, yes, you guys are a fit for us. What's next? Like, what does it look like next after you've said yes to them and you're actually like in the process now of like thinking about how to do link building for them?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the next step is usually taking a look at what the clients have to work with for us. So we do like analysis, see what kind of pages they have that they want to promote and increase the rankings for. And for us, essentially, we divided the SaaS content into four main buckets of four different kinds of pages. So there's the homepage, and then you have like the blog articles, so informational content. Then you might have some linkable assets, and these could be infographics or ebooks. So yeah, some kind of asset that has been created for the purpose of link building. And the last one is the feature pages or product pages. So if you have use cases pages as well. So those kind of landing pages that are essentially targeting the main features of your product. And once we determine what we do have to work with, what we do is, so instead of like picking a specific tactic, like we don't really want to use like specific tactics, because I know that like a lot of people are doing either guest posting or like broken link building. So all these different tactics, like in the end, I really think that a tactic is basically working until it doesn't work anymore, because like everybody and their mom are doing the same thing. So instead of looking at specific tactics, what we like to do is take more of a holistic approach, maybe. So basically, try to look at what the competition is doing and look for specific patterns and stuff that we can maybe replicate to find some other kind of opportunities, basically. So it's mostly like a detective kind of work, looking into the other people's backlinks and see what they are doing that's working and try to replicate it, but without competing against the other person as well directly.
That makes a ton of sense. I really love how you broke that down. So you're particularly talking about like, you know, you don't want to, I love how you put it, like tactics works until it does it, because everybody's doing it as well. Is there one that has like done, and you might be like, it might be the same thing where like once you share it, everybody's going to copy and paste this particular thing that has worked for you. But is there one that has like actually really worked for your clients, or like, is there one that might even stand out as like, oh, this actually worked. I didn't think it would.
For the most part, I think a resource page link building is something that still kind of works really well, but you need to really have a very good resource. So if people have a resource page, so basically a list of links and useful kind of content for their niche, and you happen to have this very good resource, people are still willing to link to that. So that's something that we still kind of do. Another one that's still working well, but you really need to make it personalized and not do the standard spammy approach, basically, is broken link building. So essentially, basically, if you spot a broken link on another page and then you have the same resource, but maybe even better, like you can pitch it to the person so that they can replace the broken link with your link. So those are basically, I think, the two strategies that still work well. One that's not working well, I think, anymore is the skyscraper technique, backlink, or called it like that. So Brian Dean, it's essentially like looking at basically other pages that already have a ton of backlinks and traffic, maybe, trying to do something that is better than that, and then reaching out to the same people that are linking to their article to ask them to replace that link with yours because it's better. So that doesn't really work very well, in my opinion, because especially nowadays, everybody has started doing the same thing. And so for some keyword, it's really hard to be able to create content that's better than when it's ranking out there already. So for example, if you look for something like, I don't know, cold emails, I don't know why today I'm fixated with cold emails, but yeah. So if you look for like cold email strategy or cold email tips, like chances are that blog, HubSpot is ranking there. And so if you are like the average Joe, like with your SaaS company, it's kind of hard for you to make something better than what HubSpot is doing in terms of content quality, content depth, and all the work that they do essentially. So instead of doing that, what we do is we reverse engineer basically again. So we don't reach out to the same person that already linking to HubSpot. What we do is we take a look at the links that HubSpot has to try and find other opportunities that maybe are not, like even linking out to HubSpot, so that we can just go in there and tell them, hey, we have this resource that makes sense for this kind of angle. It makes sense because it's a related topic and you're not linking out to anybody else. So just link to us. That's essentially the approach.
When we come back in just a moment, Alan shares how to create links to your homepage. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, PartnerStack. Now, PartnerStack, G2's top-rated partner management platform, is the only partnership platform built for SaaS, designed to deliver predictable revenue and accelerate growth for businesses and their partners. Companies like Intercom, Webflow, and Monday.com use PartnerStack to manage and scale their programs, automating partner onboarding, training, payments, and more to empower their partners' success. The past year alone, partners in the PartnerStack network have generated over $100 million in revenue for programs on PartnerStack. Fully support your partner marketing referral and reseller channel programs from a single platform. Now take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale by automating partner onboarding, attribution, engagement, payouts, and compliance. Now tap into the only global B2B partner network supporting over 500,000 partnerships and counting. If you're ready to scale your revenue to partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a demo today or find the link in the description. Enough about this, let's jump back into my chat with Alan.
I know you mentioned cold email. You mentioned early on that's, you know, like I'm sure these people are getting a ton of like, hey, can you link to our content? And you really do need to have, that's part of your good link building strategy. Correct me if I'm wrong. You should also have a good way to do outreach so that people actually respond to it. What's been the strategy that obviously you've sent me this cold email and it worked. You're on this podcast now, but like what are some good like rule of thumbs that you and your team has been using to actually get people to say, hell yeah, I'll link to your content, like the one that mm-hmm. you're suggesting, instead of ignoring in your email.
So yeah, first thing is, as I said, like you need to really make sure that your angle that you're using to reach out to the person makes sense. So if I have an article on this topic, it needs to really make sense for the other person to want to link to it. So first off, like we really make sure that the angle is done well and the strategy as well. So once we have the right angle and the very good quality content, essentially the main goal basically at that point is it's only to get the other person to reply to you, like on the first email basically. So once you get the other person to reply, then like you can maybe do some kind of custom like reply an email. So what we do, and it's something that we started doing recently, is we send out a first the first email that is just like a super short kind of question, basically just asking, hey, like, are you the right person for a question on your content or something like super simple like that? So no pitch, no links, no nothing. And then basically for the people that reply to us, we then send out 100% custom email, basically telling like, I've seen your page on this topic, and we have this really great resource, which makes sense for you to link to this and stuff like that. So essentially the main goal, I think, is firstly to get the other person to reply, and then you can start a conversation. So in order to get the other person to reply, like, you need to do something that stands out sometimes. So what I've done with you is I basically, like, I was following you on Twitter and I saw your tweet about that bad email. And so I thought, yeah, I could use this to get it, like, his attention, and then maybe we can talk about the podcast.
That's so funny. That is so funny. I mean, it you have to be a little bit opportunistic there, right? I'm guessing, yeah. Were you waiting to find something interesting to reply back, or were you already, like, looking for something to get on the show, or was it more like, oh, this is a great email, I'm just gonna reply back to see if I can get on this podcast?
So in this case, since I was doing this for myself, basically for my own agency, it was a mix of both. So it was so I did know that you had the podcast, and I was looking for opportunities to get on podcast. But at the same time, like, I was, like, genuinely, like, surprised to see your email. And so, like, I've seen it and I just decided to send you, like, an email. But for the clients, we really do need to kind of make this a process that we can kind of follow every time, you know? And so we have a specific process that we follow. So we say, like, look on Twitter for this person, see what they have posted maybe in the last 10 days or so, find something that is maybe funny or interesting that you could use to grab their attention, and then we can get the conversation started.
That is so so good. That's do you look anywhere else, like Twitter? Like, do you check out their LinkedIn? Like, you check out, like, I'm guessing you literally digitally stalk them, like, you
kind of blog. Sometimes it does feel a little bit like that. We try to be, like, always respectful, obviously. And something that we always do is we make sure that the client has agreed for us to do this. And so what we have also is a questionnaire that the clients can fill out, where basically they tell us, like, a few things about how they talk to people, how they speak, so that we can try to speak with the client's tone of voice, essentially. So that's all kind of a learning process as well, that we get better and better, like, by doing more campaigns. So essentially, we have this whole process here. And in terms of websites, so usually what I found is that people tend to share more of their, like, quirky things on Twitter instead of LinkedIn. So usually, we use Twitter more. LinkedIn, we could use it for something like, if they changed, like, a job recently, so we might, like, refer to that, so something more professional. And also if the client is in a, like, some kind of, like, more formal niche, so nothing, so something that is maybe not as, I don't know, as, like, funny as, like you doing the podcast, for example, could maybe, like, accept this kind of humor, you know? In that case, we might use LinkedIn, which is more professional for these things.
That makes a ton of sense. I really love how you're following up with that. Let's say they've agreed. You reach out, they've agreed. It takes them a while to update it, because they have to go to web developers or whatever. Like, how I guess finding the balance between, like, hey, you're doing me a favor, but I don't want to be too pushy. Like, how often do you follow up? Like, what is your process for that? Like, to actually get it going and actually get the link.
So first off, it's really important to mention that we really want to try to reach out to the person that is the closest as possible to the actual content. So we want to reach out maybe to the content manager. And so people that actually have the ability to log into the website and make the edits. So we don't reach out to the VP of marketing, for example, because they don't have the time. They would just, like, maybe forward the email to the other person. And so that's the first step. Try to really find the best person for this. And so usually it can be the editor, it can be the content manager, someone like that. In terms of follow-up, what we do is we're not too aggressive. We usually only send, like, one or two follow-ups, which usually for the most part is just like very short emails. So something like, hey, just checking in. And if you don't have the time for this, no need to reply or something like that. Sometimes for the biggest opportunity, what we might try to do is send them something else of value, maybe. So even like someone else's article, something that may be helpful for them, just to try and be, basically as natural as possible.
Makes a ton of sense. Yeah, makes really great. Thank you for those advice. We've talked a lot about like getting links to resource page or to content. One of the things that you have in that guide is how to build links to your main landing page or your product pages, which might be a little higher because, like, you know, what is the value to them? It's not a useful, shareable, pretty blog or infographic. Like, what is your thoughts around actually getting links to the main landing pages or to product pages?
For those, I mean, like, there's a few different kind of things that you can do. The first one is if we're talking about the feature pages or, like, for example, use cases pages, like, you can actually find resource pages that are about those things. So feature pages usually are the features that your product has. So essentially, these are all things that your products help solve for people. So you can usually find some kind of resource pages that are about those specific exact problems. And so instead of linking out to the homepage, in this case, you will simply give them the link to the feature pages. And that's because it's more specific to the specific problem that they're talking about. The other thing for the use cases pages, let's say that these are usually niche specific things. So for example, your product has some kind of unique features for a specific niche, maybe the medical sector, something like that. So in this case, we try to find the resource pages that are in the exact niche that, like, your product talks about, basically. And the last thing is something that we try to do for some of the clients that do have the budget for this, something that we called a content injection. So basically, content injection, I've got this idea from QuickBooks. Basically, after doing a call with them, they show me this sales page. Essentially, I think it was their landing page for sales tax. And I have the link. We can put it into the show notes. But essentially, what they did there is that they had this sales page with like looked exactly like your normal sales landing page. But what they did is that they used specific jump links, basically at the bottom of the page. And then what would happen is if you clicked on those jump links, for example, you would get, in the first one, you would get like an article. So the page would actually change and become an article. The second would be like a research kind of piece with like an interactive map, for example, showing you all the different states and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, it's basically a process of making your page interactive so that it changes based on what you're trying to do. And the cool thing about this is that by clicking on this jump links, essentially the URL would change as well using some specific keywords. So the backlinks that you build to those URL are basically targeting those keywords as well. But at the same time, they would increase the overall domain authority and rating of your sales page as well, because it's essentially that same page with a bunch of jump links that go to different sections of the page, basically. So that was a very interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that. Like, that's the first time I've heard about content injection thing. So yeah, I'm sure a lot of the audience would really love to know more about that. With that, I'm going to add the link to that content that you have. Talk about building. Is podcast part of your backlinking strategy? It's podcasting, like appearing in podcast shows.
No, actually, that's something that we never done for people. It's something that I see more like a part of like like digital PR. Maybe that's
interesting.
That's what those people do usually. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I'll send a link to your that the resource.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that works. That's always good.
I know we've talked a lot about like link building, cold emails, and Back to the Future in the last half an hour. I mean, if you can summarize, like, if you can share like one or two lessons or one or two things that you want to share to marketers or growth folks who are listening into the show right now, what would be those like one or two tips, whether it's about link building or about just marketing in general or growing a business in general that you'd want to share?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like a few tips, I guess, just to stay like, yeah, in the topic. So I would say, like, if you want to do content promotion, and do like content and then promote it, essentially, like what I would do is, first off, I would have a fixed schedule. So like a fixed number of articles that you publish every month, which usually for most companies is anywhere from 1 to 8 or something like that per month. And basically what this looks like is like a ladder, right? So you publish one article or like two articles, and then it goes like this, then you publish like two more, and then it goes like this, then you publish two more, and then it goes like this. And the problem with this is that link building essentially looks more like an exponential curve. So what most people do is that they just get to a certain point where essentially they think that they have put out like 80% of the results and only gotten 20% of basically their effort, essentially. And so what they do is that, yeah, essentially they just quit. And essentially only the people that decides to follow the curve and to keep supporting their content production, those are the people that like essentially will win basically in the end with link building and content promotion. So my biggest advice is not to give up too quickly and be patient with this stuff, because it usually takes like anywhere from 6 to 12 months to start seeing some results, and then eventually you will succeed.
I love it. Consistency and don't give up. Really love it.
Yeah.
One final thing. Where can people find out more about you online as well as Growth Gorilla?
Mm-hmm. So there's a website, which is mygrowthgorilla.com. And then people can find me on Twitter at Alan G. Gorilla. That's my handle. Which some people told me that it sounds like some kind of testosterone product, but it's
or DJ. I'm thinking DJ right now.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm also on LinkedIn. And so those are the three main ones. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Alan. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Well, that's it for this episode. I got so much from what Alan shared today, especially about how to build links. I hope you got a ton. Let me know by email, ramli@growthtoday.fm, what you particularly learned from this. I'd love to hear from you. But before I end, I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. This episode of Growth Marketing Today is brought to you by Partner Stacked. It's G2's number one rated partner management platform. Fully support your partner marketing, referral, and reseller channel programs all from a single platform. Take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale. If you're ready to scale revenue through partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a free demo today, or find the link in the description right now. Please also support me. There's three easy ways. First, you can share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn, or tell a friend about this podcast. Second, you can join the Grow Today mailing list, or you'll get to know each episode before it goes live. Third, leave a review on Apple Podcasts so other people can find out more about this show. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramli John. Keep safe. And as always, keep on growing.